Welcome back. I'm joined here by Melissa Romo, another social worker that is not a therapist. And she is going to go ahead and tell us, you know, about how she got into her role and things like that. So go ahead and introduce yourself.
Hi, Christopher. My name is Melissa, and I pursued my master's of social work. So I am by study a social worker. Mm-hmm. But I actually work in the educational system in higher education. And so that's what you would consider, I guess, a non-traditional social work role, especially in the roles and the responsibilities that I have.
Right. Okay. And was that something that you had planned on doing when you got your MSW, or you kind of just fell into it?
Actually, I, even in undergraduate, I did not plan at all to go into social work. I was actually pursuing a career in communications and media. And so my hope was to get into the entertainment industry and kind of really work through some nonprofits and kind of some good work that's being done in the entertainment industry. But it was actually through the required internship I needed to do in my bachelor's degree that I got into what it could potentially look like to do work in higher education. And so in that internship, I first got started through the military connected route. There was an internship site that was on campus and they needed a media person. And so I felt it was perfect. It was at the Veterans Center. For me, it worked out. I needed an internship and my husband was just about to leave the military. So having access to that kind of information was helpful. And so, I decided to take the internship. But it was in that internship that I really found out not only like some issues that were facing not only the military community or non-traditional students, but, you know, just students in general pursuing higher education. I mean, I personally thought it was just me struggling as a general, you know, first gen, low income, underrepresented student on campus. Mm-hmm. But seeing it that it was actually like a big thing and there were departments that were dedicated to providing support services, you know, advocacy, breaking barriers. And that really was got me into the work. I ended up staying about 6 years in that role or in that center. And in those 6 years, I pursued my master's social work because I figured that there's a lot of skills and I have a lot of passion that I can, you know, contribute to the missions of what these departments are already doing.
For sure. Okay. So when you got into grad school, you kind of knew that, you know, that was the route you're going to take, kind of help non-traditional students and veterans try to get their equity needs met.
Exactly. And at that point, it was so funny because even in my program, when I would talk about the issues that were in higher ed that students were facing and, you know, the systemic concerns, a lot of students looked at me like, what? You know, I didn't even know that was a thing. And I was like, yeah, you know, I'm pretty sure you faced it as a student at some point. So even then it was kind of, you know, a newer kind of track. And so it was interesting to even go through that experience.
For sure. Okay. So like, you know, someone like you seem like you're pretty like kind of straightforward going to grad school. How like most therapists go to grad school, right? I'm going to be a therapist. I got to do X, Y, and Z to, you know, to make sure that my resume looks great. So when I apply for these jobs, you know, I get hired, right? So like, what does the MSW internship look for someone in a non-traditional social work role?
Yeah, and that's a good question because I actually was in a really particular situation where I didn't get to do the therapy hours in my program. I actually had to find a way to see if my employer at the university would allow me to use a project that I had at work to help accommodate some of the scheduling concerns I had. And so I'm glad that my university, both the universities were willing to work with me. And so that did mean not doing a traditional, therapeutic role. And so what it looked like for me was actually kind of unique, and I really appreciated it, was that at that time, the department had a grant, and the grant needed someone to run it. And that grant involved providing our veterans and military-connected students additional funding for any barriers that they might face, whether it's emergency situations, maybe they needed scholarships. A lot of veterans are working, and so in order for them to do an internship, they required to not work. And so giving them an internship stipend to help offset some of those costs. And a part of that, there was a mental health aspect, which the, my MSW program required that I still had. And that involved me meeting with them on a one-on-one to see, you know, how it, it looked more like case management. How can I support them? You know, what are the needs? How do we provide some long-term care, some short-term care, access to resources? And so in those one-on-ones, you know, we were able to talk about a few things that came up for students, some of the issues that they were facing, what was impacting their academics, and how can we as a university be responsive to that? And so as an MSW intern, it was my responsibility to oversee the grant funding. So all of the data recording, making sure that the budget was being used appropriately, that I was also meeting with the students one-on-one, I was distributing the funds, and consistently checking up with the students. So it really involved all kinds of different aspects of social work. And I really, at the end, appreciated that I got to experience a little bit more about all the different little pieces of that.
Okay. So what does your day-to-day look like usually?
So I currently do not work at the Veterans Center anymore. I actually ended up moving to, with my MSW actually opened up more doors for me. So I currently serve in, now I guess my role would be an assistant dean for student affairs. And I now serve students who are straight out of high school. They are from underrepresented communities. They're first gen. And they have the highest eligibility of financial aid. So otherwise, they don't have familial financial support. Mm-hmm. And so my role is to essentially see what are some of the you know, challenges in the education system that they might be facing, some barriers, serve as advocacy. We meet with the students one-on-one, provide them resources that they otherwise probably didn't know about, especially as first-gen, first-year students. And so a lot of my day-to-day looks like meeting with students on a regular basis. Our team oversees over 700 students. So it's quite a few students that we are trying to check in on, see how they're doing, how can we provide resources. I'm actually in a very unique place where our university has tasked us to find what are some barriers that students across campus are facing. And with this small cohort of 700 students, we are able to really take, like an assessment of what are some of these issues. Mm-hmm. And we get to make recommendations to all of our leadership based on our findings.
Right. Okay. So that sounds like a quite, you know, tall order, you know, but.
It is very challenging.
So yeah. Speaking of, you know, challenges. So like, you know, when I worked at I was kind of a quasi macro social worker one time in my career. I had like a role kind of like yours, right? You know, like where you not really too heavy on the therapy, but you know, you meet with students trying to figure out what's kind of the barrier of why they can't come to work or not work, why they can't come to school, you know, try to figure out ways to kind of problem solve, things like that, right? But we always face challenges with like this systematic, this bullshit, right? So like, you know, what kind of challenges, like, you know, besides the obvious, you know, like, of course, and like, you know, just trying to get things done. But like, what are the challenges that you might face, you know, on a day to day?
Of course, I would say that's probably one of my top ones, like you mentioned, the systematic barriers we face. And, you know, when we look at, let's say, the military community, it's about working within multiple contexts, like multiple institutions. So within the military community, we were not only dealing with the university system, but we were dealing with the VA system. Mm-hmm. And because of their, you know, their benefits, you know, their resources. And so we had this dual complex, like we understood that the students were not already dealing with the educational system, but they're also dealing with the VA, which, you know, has a lot of, you know, their own things kind of going on. And so we had to work within these multiple institutions. Now, if you're looking at the population that I'm currently working with, you know, there's a lot of things that come with that. We're dealing with, you know, what educational system did they come from? You know, did they prepare them enough with the information? Were they advised, you know, in the high school system to be prepared for a college system, right? So, and then they come into this institution, right, which has its own barriers. It has, and I say that for almost all of higher education, I think each college faces their own issues. And so, yes, being there, being responsive, not only, but like being able to take care of ourselves in that system, right? Because we face a lot of that backlash, or that, you know, just kind of, it feels like almost like we're hitting our heads against the wall. Like, what can we do? And so I think that's also challenging, is not feeling like there's no solutions and there's no opportunities. And that's where I think my training kind of comes in, is that we can, you know, if we can't fix the institutional barriers, maybe we can build up these students and, you know, talk about motivational interviewing, right? What are some of the things, that skills that we can at least help them in navigating these systems? Mm-hmm. You know, as part of my roles, I do serve as a immediate crisis support. And so students, if they have no idea, they don't know where to go on campus, they can come to me, and then I can start rerouting them through, I guess, like the back channels of where they can get some services, some direct, like a direct handoff to other, you know, services.
Right. Okay. That's all right. So, what is like the overall like objective for, like, you know, when you, you know, when, you know, beginning of the year starts, and, you know, you sit down with your team and you guys try to, you know, figure out what are we trying to do? So, like, what is like the kind of, what is the social work mission with your
social work? Oh, gosh. I would say that it's finding and addressing those opportunity gaps, right? Who is currently being disadvantaged, mm-hmm. and in what ways? And how can we now take this charge and either ease that kind of, you know, their experience, or find a whole new way to try to address it? And so that's primarily what we do, where we are, you know, I have an amazing team that I work with. We come from different backgrounds. One of my coworkers, she studied in higher education, so she knows, you know, the system. So she has her master's of higher education. My other colleague is about the same. My supervisor is an MFT, a licensed marriage family therapist. And then I have myself in the social work lens. And so we really try to aim to holistically support our students. And so it's kind of finding out where are students kind of struggling, and where are they thriving, and how can we kind of use both to, you know, reinforce resiliency, but also address some of the concerns and barriers that they're facing. And so that's kind of what our mission, if I want to simplify it to the best ability I can.
Okay. Yeah. Well, yeah, it's hard to simplify any social mission, right? You know, like, even like, you know, in the therapy world, of course, it's like, you know, get the patient better, get the client better, mm-hmm. but what does that mean? Right. You know, exactly. Then there's a whole lot of other stuff that you know you got to figure out with systems and this, like, you know, well, you know how it is. I don't want to go there. Anyway, so, you know, is there any kind of information that you found helpful and that you want to share with you know, maybe social work students or other social workers that may be feeling burnt out and want to leave the you know therapy, how to best, you know, like, prepare to get into the macro space?
Yeah, I think it's really exploring it. You know, like I mentioned, I was probably one of the only students in my MSW classes talking about some of the issues in higher education. So really exploring, what are some of the fields out there that might need, you know, your support, and not being kind of turned away by the challenge, but being motivated by a different challenge, right? A different aspect. We're trained in a lot of this work, and we can definitely bring in a whole new perspective. I mean, I've been currently on a strange quest on finding other MSWs on campus that are not related to the MSW program. And it has been kind of tough. It has been very tough. And we have such a good experience and perspective that can lend to really creating change on campuses. Mm. Because, I mean, we provide services to, you know, students with disabilities, students in the LGBTQIA+ community. And, you know, there's so many populations that exist on our college campuses that if we just apply like the social work framework to it, there's so much impact that we can make on students who are pursuing all kinds of degrees, all kinds of fields, we're essentially giving them an example of what it could look like to bring social work into careers that probably never even thought about what it could look like.
Right.
And so really being curious and looking at the different types of jobs and responsibilities that that exist out there that they can bring their lens to.
For sure. Okay. I see in your signature line that it says creator and photographer, right? I just did a presentation last week on how to use the digital space and social work to amplify your voice, right? So like, you know, I feel like a lot of social workers, you know, I don't know how old you are, but I feel like a lot of social workers kind of like just, you know, mid-20s, you know, to late 30s or whatever. People who are like in the MySpace kind of realm, you know, like that kind of, you know, a realm.
Yes, I knew MySpace, if you're wondering.
You know, so like, I feel like social workers, you know, like in our age bracket, aren't really taking like the traditional route. We want to kind of, you know, like we don't want to wait to be like, approved for our dissertation, or we don't want to wait for like, you know, some peer review article to get, you know, off to get published. Like, you know, like we want to, you know, kind of use our creativity now. We use it for social work, right? So like you being a creator and photographer, do you kind of tie that into social work?
I personally do a lot. And that came in from my passion. You know, I started in communications for a reason. Mm-hmm. I always used to say to my supervisor, who at that time didn't really like, she's like, well, what can we do? And I'm like, well, honestly, what you all are doing here is amazing. But if no one knows what you're doing, how can you reach out to more people? Mm. So I had always had that kind of mindset, is that, you know, there are so many departments, people, you know, organizations that are doing such great work. But if the community doesn't know what they offer, how they can best serve the community, then no one's accessing those resources, or everything's being funneled to the ones that are, and they're not using the ones that aren't. And so a lot of organizations fall that way. Maybe departments lose funding because they don't have the numbers to prove that they are being useful, right? And so I really do, I'm a firm believer of using the current technology to help other people outside of organization gain access to the resources. So that has been kind of one of the biggest things for our program, is that, you know, a lot of our students are 18, 19 years old, and that's all the world they live in. And so how do we tap into that so that way they can also see that they have access to resources? And so I'm a firm believer in that. If anything, I actually incorporate it into my work. You know, I take it as a challenge. I'm always looking at the perspective of the communications, the media, how are other departments on campus perceiving what we're doing? Mm. What can motivate them to do similar work so that way they can reach their population, right? So yeah. I really tend to incorporate it into the work that I do.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. You know, and it's important it's our generation, you know, like we're this is social work now. Right. So like, right. So like, I feel like any kind of hobby, you can kind of incorporate it, you know, like every time, I mean, like, you know, if it was back in maybe even like the early 2000s, late 90s, if I wanted to be like someone who got asked to speak and who got, you know, who people reached out to, I would have to like have like these peer reviewed articles written yep. about these long drawn out studies that I've done and like these theories that I've created. Exactly. But now I made a podcast, I made an Instagram page, I started kind of sharing things. And not saying that what I say is not important, but it's less like red tape, you know, to get your vision across, right? So like how you want, you know, your vision to be shared with, you know, like we have all these 18, 19 year old students, this is how we can reach them, you know? And it's like, you know, like instead of you like having to go to a board and get approved or have to like have all this kind of like, just like, you know, like I said, red tape, you know, like you can just do it. And then, you know, if it, you know, if people, you know, resonate with it, then it, you know, then there's your proof right there.
Exactly. And I actually think that kind of model limits a lot of people who have that experience, who they might not have the degree, but they have lived experience. Mm. And I think these are the kinds of days that people can speak their truth and they can be seen for who they are. And that's what's going to drive that message. And And so, I mean, it might not work for everything. I know that, you know, especially working in higher ed, but I think that it is our day and an age where media is going to be really key to how we send our message out there.
For sure. Yeah, for sure. Well, thank you for joining me, but I have one last question.
Of course.
I am the social work fairy. I can grant you one disparity that you can get rid of. One disparity, what would it be?
That's a tough one. I would say the access to resources. I feel that there's just so many red tape, so much in everywhere, mm-hmm. that if we can remove that, I think that it can really transform our communities as a whole.
Right. Nice. That's like a blanket. Get rid of the red tape, you know, let these resources flow. Let it be, less ableist, you know, less things like that. Less, just kind of less buried in like jargon, you know. just let it be, you know, just let it be simple. You know, people need help. Let them get help. Exactly. Right. So
exactly.
All right, well, I appreciate you for joining me.
And, of course, thank you so much for inviting me.
No problem. Let's keep amplifying our voice.
Yes, Les. And thank you. Thank you for doing that. Thank you for amplifying all of the social work voice.
No problem. And I'll see you. I'll be in touch soon.
Yes, stay in touch.
Okay. Bye.